This is the week ahead. A look at some of the stories that Bloomberg editors are watching for the coming week.
This is Week Ahead editor Greg Miles. In the coming week, the International Monetary Fund releases its latest outlook for the global economy. U.S. new home sales and existing home sales probably rose in June, data may show, and Apple, Facebook, Microsoft, and Credit Suisse are among the companies reporting earnings. Today, we talk about a key part of the U.S. equities markets, initial public offerings, and what's driving them this year. Now with me here to talk about that is Leslie Picker. She covers the U.S. IPO market in New York for Bloomberg News. Leslie, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Leslie, as you know, we've had a large number of high-profile U.S. IPOs thus far in 2014 with such as, you know, Market Limited, Mullison Company, GoPro. How many of these companies actually have done well since their IPO? I mean, are they still trading above their offering price?
It's pretty bifurcated. You look at a Market, for example, which is higher than its IPO price, but down where it closed in its first day of trading. This is largely the result of analyst coverage that was initiated following their IPO when they got only one buy in a 12-month price target with only a 10% upside. On the other hand, you have companies like JD.com and GoPro, which have experienced the opposite effect, where most of the analyst coverage has been positive, helping their shares out.
And of course, you know, Moelis & Company shares, the financial firm, they're doing very well. Is there any explanation for this?
I would say it all comes down to earning. Their shares have moved up slightly after they reported net income that climbed in the first quarter, and they also came out at a significant discount, their IPO did, due to a rough patch when they decided to debut. So they've benefited from just a general run-up in equity since then.
Now, you know, is there any sign at all that the IPO market is peaking, you know, that we're seeing a rising number of companies going public with little or no earnings or revenue?
So there are an increasingly greater number of companies going public before making a profit. I look at University of Florida data, which shows that 72% of companies that did IPOs this year did so before posting earnings. So that's up from 64% last year and a four-decade average of 37%. So that's the highest amount since 2000, which, of course, was the dot-com bubble when we saw 80% of companies going public without earnings. On the flip side, though, these are more mature companies, typically, with an average age of about 12. So that's double of what the age was during the dot-com era. And a lot of sources tell me that the more mature companies, of course, the more mature business models, and theoretically they're easier to model, so less risky.
Yeah, of course. Now, any specific examples of what we're talking about?
The one that everyone typically points to is a company called Castlight Health, which is a digital healthcare company that went public in March, and it priced its shares above the range to raise almost $200 million. That's despite making only $13 million in revenue last year and, of course, no profit. So their IPO was priced at more than 100 times sales before its debut, and the shares jumped 150% on their first day of trading. However, they weren't able to grow into that valuation, and now shares have slumped down below their IPO price.
Now, of course, you know, based on the people you've talked to as a reporter, where then are the biggest risks in the IPO market today if I'm either considering, you know, buying a company that's yet to come to market or one that's already floating out there in the market, you know, that went public just a few months ago?
Sure. So IPOs are a byproduct of a strong equity market, risk appetite, and low volatility. And so far, they've benefited from that this year as we've seen records in U.S. stock indexes and seemingly low volatility, almost complacency, as people call it. So if any one of those variables turns sour, whether that's due to geopolitical issues, economic issues, or just investor jitters, the IPO market will close faster than you can say the word bubble.
Yeah, they get dragged down with the rest of the Saturday night party, so to speak. What kind of companies do we see in the pipeline for IPOs in the next, you know, few months, especially in September when activity picks up after the summer months? I mean, are we talking tech companies, finance companies, which is what we've really seen a lot, you know, in the past few months?
Well, the newest one we're looking at is Synchrony Financial. This one set terms today, a price range, valuation, and offering size for its IPO. The reason we care about Synchrony is because it's a spinoff from GE, which could become the largest IPO of the year, which is surpassing Ally Financial, which is the current record holder. That's, of course, the GM financing arm, the former GM financing arm. I'm also told that we can expect in the fall a lot of private equity-related deals, a lot of exits that these sponsors will be pursuing, meaning that a lot of the companies that were picked up during the buyout boom of 2004 to 2007 will start to finally see the light of day again.
Okay, and now last, going forward, everybody's talking about Alibaba, the Chinese e-commerce company, which is likely to come out as early as September, and what may be the biggest U.S. Public offering. What are the latest estimates on how much money Alibaba could raise in an offering, and what would be the implied, total value?
So the latest analyst estimates compiled yesterday show that Alibaba could fetch a valuation of $154 billion in an IPO and a post-listing valuation of $198 billion. Now, that discrepancy indicates a 22% discount, so that the stock can pop. This is common for IPOs we see in the U.S., especially large IPOs where you want a guaranteed first-day rise. We're hearing that they'll sell about a 12% stake of the company in the IPO. So looking at that IPO-specific valuation, that could yield an offering size of about $18 billion.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. Well, Alibaba has made it clear that investors will have far less oversight and control over the company than U.S. IPOs or companies in general from an investor point, investor or shareholder point, viewpoint. To what extent are investors concerned about this lack of control and oversight?
This is certainly a red flag and a risk for the company in many investors' eyes. Their corporate governance, their partnership structure is what they call it. It's in between a one-share, one-vote structure that's seen as the most shareholder-friendly and multiple class share structures that give executives sizable control over the decision-making process, something like you'd see in a Google or a Facebook. So in Alibaba's case, they have 27 individuals who will be able to nominate a majority of the board, which is then voted on by shareholders. So, of course, this is limited oversight by the common shareholders, but it's not as restrictive as, say, something with a Google or a Facebook or something that they're used to and that they've still invested in despite these risks.
Now, of course, based on the people you've talked to, I mean, could this lack of shareholder, transparency and control, lack of corporate transparency and lack of shareholder control, could this really hurt the price Alibaba might get in its IPO? Or for many investors, will this be just a too good deal to pass up, despite
right.
the weaknesses?
What's interesting is that investors are definitely worried about their partnership structure. They're worried about transparency, and they're worried about not being able to have a say in certain decisions that are made by their management team. However, most of them are willing to give up control if it means they get a sizable return. And if they're looking at Chinese e-commerce growth, which is projected to absolutely skyrocket over the next couple of years, that's something they'll be more focused on, and they'll be willing to give up that control if it means a sizable capital gain on that investment. So there was a recent BDO survey conducted that showed that 77% of capital markets executives are expecting this IPO to be well received by U.S. investors. So that's certainly a good sign at this stage of the process.
And of course, as we know, many entertainment companies in the U.S. have shareholder structures or share structures that really limit, shareholder control. And many of those investors have been happy.
Exactly. At the end of the day, it's all about capital gains.
That's right. It's all about the money. Well, Leslie, I want to thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Well, there you have it. That was Leslie Picker. She covers the U.S. IPO market for Bloomberg News in New York. Well, as always, we got to go. You can find the full print version of our Week Ahead on our Bloomberg Terminal at our Top Worldwide page or at NI Space Global Week. Our podcasts, they're also featured on Bloomberg.com and the Radio Plus Bloomberg app. Have a great week.
The Week Ahead. Copyright 2014. Bloomberg LP.